My name is Annette Kelly. I'm a wellbeing and mental health advocate. If anyone's watching this that went to college with me, they'll be like, what a bluffer, hey. He's not so slow though, boy. That's real drone speak. A wise woman once told me, Annette, you'll not be everyone's cup of tea.
Have you ever tasted my tea?
You'll have to make me a cup somehow.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to another episode of the Here's the Crack podcast. We're joined today by Annette Kelly.
Hello, how's boys. What is the crack?
You have done a few podcasts before, so you'll be familiar with the mics and the headphones and stuff, so it's all good.
Aye, but I feel like I'm a pilot. I'm about to take off. You know?
But for those living under a rock, obviously, people may know you as behind the face behind Little Penny Thoughts, and I just kind of want to get you on, obviously, chat a bit about that, you, your experience, all that there. So for those maybe who don't know, do you want to say a bit about yourself, who you are?
Well, indeed. So my name is Annette Kelly. I am from County Tyrone. I'm a wellbeing and mental health advocate. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I started my journey online in 2015. And it's grown over the years. And now it's become a business and a family business at that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm very passionate about what I do. And I'm so appreciative of the community that we've built online and the platform. And I don't take it for granted at all. Mm-hmm.
Do you have that, like, all? Are you used to that question now?
I suppose when I used to get asked that question, it used to like startle me a wee bit because I'm like, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm about? And it probably took me a while to realise, you know, what is it that I want to achieve? But my why for starting Little Penny Thoughts is still the reason why I'm doing it today.
Yeah.
And that's to uplift, empower and support others through the medium of mainly quotes. But also now I've become a wee bit braver over the years and coming on and speaking to camera. Yeah. And, you know, it's ironic that your podcast is called Here for the Crack. You know, I'm all about the crack. I love having the banter with my followers and I love building that connection and community. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel most alive in my page, when I actually, you know, put the brand aside and actually put my face forward.
Yeah.
I used to hide behind Little Penny Thoughts a wee bit.
Yeah.
And then I got a wee bit braver because I've seen other people, mm-hmm. you know, come out behind, you know, the mask sometimes of social media. And I feel as if over the years I've grown in confidence.
Yeah.
And just be myself, and then when you're yourself you connect with the right people, and it's been a journey.
Yeah. And where does the kind of, because obviously you do speak in, you know, you're motivational, even the quotes and stuff, like mm-hmm. where do you think that comes from?
Well, you know, I'm a former primary school teacher.
Right.
So, and English was my subject. That's what I trained in, you know, when I rolled about the ranch for 4 years in the Holy Lands. I laugh, you know, if anyone's watching this that went to college with me, they'd be like, what a bluffer, hey. She is some doll.
Yeah.
And I do meet people from back in the day, and we have the crack about it because I didn't take my college life too seriously. I was there at a party, you know, and I loved it, and I don't regret one bit of it, and I love my time at St. Mary's, and I did love my time as a teacher, but there was always something maybe more that I wanted to do with inside me, and the courage and bravery to pursue it. And I think it was only when I started going through a tough time myself in my own life that I was getting support and help through the medium of quotes. You know, whether it was the quotes that I was reading in a book or the quotes I was reading online, and then I wanted to share them maybe on my personal Facebook page. And then I decided to create my own safe space online where people can come and feel maybe uplifted like I was. And I'm not saying that quotes cure mental health, do the frig. It takes so much more than a quote. But words can hurt or words can heal. And I'm all about the words that can uplift you and support you. And you just never know the words you put out, where they can go. And I really witnessed that myself, whether it's the words I write or whether it's words taken from someone else who I give credit for. Words are powerful, and I've always loved literature, I've always loved language, but now it's definitely a big part of what I do.
Is that always, even when you were in, like, that you say you were in the Holy Lands, your sort of party years and stuff, was that still, or kind of?
Definitely was. That was 4 years of just living the dream,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where I didn't really... Do you know what? The beauty of my college years was that I didn't put pressure on myself. Mm, yeah. I very much, you know, we talk about living in the moment. I did live in the moment, and yeah. I lived her to the max, and even, yeah. you know, have the best memories with my friends, and we just laugh, and, you know, I'm showing my age here, but it was phoneless.
Yeah.
You know, Snapchat didn't exist. What else didn't exist? I think Bebo was the only thing we had to, like, physically take. We took big, fat-ass cameras out, you know. The only room for the camera in the handbag, right? Like, nothing else. And you came home with a camera. And at the weekend, I think you actually plugged the camera into your computer.
Yeah.
And if you're like me from the country, like, you didn't have broadband, it was like dial-up. And it might have took you 5 hours to upload all your photos from the week. I would love to access my Bebo and see the absolute scenes, but golden memories. But, like, it was, in my memory, it was simpler times, and definitely living in the moment, fun. And back in that day, I wouldn't have took myself or life too seriously. And that, I didn't know what mental health was, or putting pressure on myself, or didn't compare my life to others because I was too busy having fun. And I'm very, very grateful for them years.
Reflecting on that time, looking back now with the insight that you have, would you have changed anything and done anything differently?
Not one thing.
No.
No, I wouldn't have worked harder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have.
Would you give that advice to your kids that you're into?
That's a good one. Cut. You know what? You know, you only know what you know at that age. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, as I say, when I grew up at primary school and secondary school, I never took myself too seriously or my studies, but always got by.
Yeah.
Always just did my best. And then when I went to college, definitely it was a continuation. And even leaving college, the continuation was then going to travel Australia, which I absolutely loved for a year. And it was only then when I came back from Australia, I was in my mid-20s, that's when I thought I had to have my life together.
Yeah.
That's when I started to feel that I wasn't good enough, that the party's over, that I need to get my shit together here because such and such has, and they have a permanent job and I don't, and this comparison trap that we can fall into, you know, as a young adult in your 20s. Now I look at people in their 20s, I'm like, keep living it up. And but you only know what you know at the time, and there's a lot to be said to appreciating where you are, you know.
Yeah.
And but the landscape has changed to college now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was more carefree, I feel. Hear me, back in my day, I sound about 90. But I feel it was more carefree because things weren't done for the gram.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have to dress a certain way. Like, we rolled about in GA jerseys, like, you know what I mean?
Obviously, you've had, like, a lot of your successes came through social media. But, like, do you sort of wish you could go back to those days where maybe social media wasn't as big a thing, people weren't on their phones as much?
Absolutely, because I would say that I have probably an unhealthy, maybe an addiction to social media, because I would find myself scrolling a lot. And, you know, it's just so, it's because, and people say, but sure, it's part of your job. Well, it is and it isn't, like, because I think it's so, so important not to be looking down all the time, and, as I say, falling into the scroll hole.
Yeah.
Because, like, you might feel connected, you know, in a social aspect to social media, but you're actually disconnecting yourself with the people that matter around you, the important conversations, you know, with your loved ones. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say that I am so present when I'm with my friends and family. It's something that I really want to work on. People talk about goal setting and personal development. It's definitely an area that I want to improve, because I don't want to waste my time just scrolling. But it's very addictive, you know, and especially, you know, with the likes of TikTok. You know, it's just dopamine hit after dopamine hit, and these memes floating about and things like that. And but yeah, it's I suppose it's how you use it. But you're dead right. You know, I do believe that back in the day the times were simpler, and sometimes I would love to go back.
And you mentioned Australia there. It feels like at the minute, at our age, everyone is going over to Australia. Like, what was that experience like for yourself? And, like,
it was just class. I just loved it because I just felt, you know, free. You know, like, I was so, I feel as if I was so brave in my early 20s. Now I'm in my early 30s, say, right? I felt braver then because I just had a real sense of adventure. And I remember not really having a care. I was just ready for the next adventure. And, you know, anyone who is going traveling at the minute, I just say embrace it, because you will look back in years to come and you won't regret it, because to travel is to learn, is to live. And I've traveled so many, you know, times since. I haven't lived away a year in Australia, but, you know, I've just holidayed since. But you never regret travel and taking that leap. Mm-hmm. I know some people are nervous to do that, but if you push yourself out of your comfort zone, great things can happen. And yeah. I don't regret any of my travels, for sure.
What was the reasoning? Like, I assume that sort of, was it an itch that you just wanted to scratch, or was it because a lot of people, we had Caroline on the podcast from County Down Under, and she had sort of said a lot of people go because of the sort of escapism. They feel like Ireland isn't all, like, they don't have enough here, if that makes sense. So they go somewhere else and search for something that, you know, they can only find sort of within, if that makes sense. They're not going to find by buying a plane ticket.
I can remember, I don't know if it's still open, Star Travel and Botanic.
Right.
It's still knocking about, I'm not sure, but people were waiting on their results, you know, and so was I, but I wasn't really concerned with my results. I was just hoping I would get my 2-1.
Yeah.
And I did. Delighted, but I remember everyone was like waiting on, was it a letter? No, email. We definitely had emails. I'm not that big of a dinosaur. It was definitely an email, and I wasn't preoccupied with the email.
Yeah.
Mm. I was thinking, right, what's next? And while some of my peers were thinking, right, I need to get a permanent job and enter the real world, I just knew I was a real, you know, adventure seeker. And I just knew that I was ready to travel, and probably that was my incentive, was to not to grow up yet.
Yeah.
But here, I still haven't grown up, so
yeah.
I'm still taking that advice.
Yeah.
A lot has changed. Yeah. In 10 years, a lot has changed. My life's totally changed. But every single decision you make leads you to the path that you're supposed to be on. That's my belief. That's what keeps me going. And I'm not saying that in a cliche way. Like, you know I love quotes and all, but, you know, the cliche, what's meant for you in that past, she doesn't cut it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you actually have to make things happen and go for it and take the leap. Sometimes it'll work out, you'll have the time of your life, and sometimes you won't.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll always learn from them lessons along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happened after uni then? So you had that sort of itch to get away and do things. So did you go straight after uni or?
Straight after, big bird. I was on it, out the gap.
And you go on your own? You didn't. You went on your own, did you?
I went with a friend.
Okay.
And we just, like, remember, so, like, I saved over the summer, got my degree, graduated, saved over the summer, and then we went in November. I went to Sydney and had a ball, Melbourne, Perth, the Outback, and did my year and had intentions to go back again, but came home and thought I had to get my life together.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, I definitely, that's when I can pinpoint the first time in my life feeling, who am I? What am I? And I started then, like I say, the measuring stick was out and being like, I'm not as accomplished as people my age, and I should have this, I should have that. I entered into a should mentality and it took me years to get out of that because I didn't realize it was a mindset thing. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And when you slip into that trap of thinking that you're not good enough, it can be a slippery slope, and it's something that I would have battled with throughout my 20s. And I would say, ironically, my pain, which was like my mental health, which is my anxiety and depression, led me to my passion, which is mental health, and now I'm living out my purpose. So pain, passion, purpose. I'm not glossing over anything here, but I just know that I was put on this path for a reason, and I'm a very ordinary girl. I'm a normal person like everyone else, and it just shows you that nobody's exempt. And I can say I was one of the bubbliest in my class at school.
Yeah.
I was one of the happiest people that you would ever meet. So when it comes to, like, someone maybe suffering with mental health, I wouldn't have fit the criteria.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not the case. And if I'm going to be a mental health advocate, I want to make sure that people don't have to act a certain way to, you know, fit into that category, because we all suffer. We all can suffer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we all have our own wee battles, but it's about, you know, working on yourself in order to overcome them. And it takes work, but it's the best work you'll ever do.
Yeah. And looking back now, like, obviously yourself even growing up and whatnot, like, obviously the mental health conversation is a much bigger and it's in the spotlight a lot more nowadays than it was like 10 years ago. But like looking back at it now, knowing what you know and kind of armed with the tools that you've kind of got over the years, when you look back now, is there some things that you remember thinking, I wish I'd have twigged on what that was?
Absolutely. Like, if I could give myself advice, like 24-year-old Annette advice, because that's when it started, you know, that around my mid-20s, I would say, Annette, just please be more dead on to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, Annette, don't, please, Annette, don't lose your spark. Please, Annette, always, you know, look for the adventure and see opportunity over obstacles, possibilities over problems. I'd probably give her a hug and I would tell her that, you know, it'll not always be like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd tell her that there's better days ahead, and it is painful sometimes to go back there.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, the breaking can be the making of you. Mm-hmm. And once I'm not here to sugarcoat or gloss things over, but I'm very, very passionate about reminding people, and that this is what I would remind myself 10 years ago, that your current situation isn't permanent.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
Bad times are temporary, unfortunately good times are temporary, and it's a bit like, you know, say if you look at life, I'm getting all philosophical here now, check me out, Gandhi Kelly here, right, it's a bit like, say the ocean, right,
yeah,
things are going to come in waves, right, probably, you know, riding the highs from my early 20s, I just wanted to live in the high. There was only one emotion I wanted to feel, and that was happiness, banter, crack. Where's the next party? Where's the next adventure? You know, but that's just not reality. That's not life. And that's naivety.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a bit of innocence. It's total greenhorn, like, back in the day. But now, you know, going through all that, I realise that, you know, as you get older, times can get tougher. Your confidence can dwindle. You can lose yourself. You can go to crossroads. You think you go down a career of teaching. You realise it's not for you. What am I going to do now? And sometimes you think you failed, but it's not failure. It's just changing direction.
Yeah.
Am I a failure because I, you know, left teaching? Absolutely not. Teaching put me in the path to where I am today.
Yeah.
What was that like, that sort of change of direction there? Was it scary at any point?
It was definitely scary.
What pushed you to do it?
What pushed me to do it was I was doing both. I was doing Little Penny Thoughts, and I was a primary school teacher. Mm. And because I was putting so much effort into Little Penny Thoughts, it was probably taken away from the effort I was putting in as a teacher. You know,
being
a teacher, you know, does take a lot of time, energy, passion if you're doing it right. And it's a very consuming job, which I did love. But when I weighed it up, where was my passion lying?
Yeah.
You know, and my passion was lying in personal development and mental health and well-being. I cared more about the children's well-being rather than their grades. So I knew that if that was the case, then I could train as a personal development coach, not a counsellor. I never was a counsellor, never will be a counsellor in my mind at the minute, but I love personal development coaching because it's forward thinking. I feel as if it fits within my skill set, and that's where I can make the most difference and impact within young people in schools. I also work with businesses, communities, and, you know, I have to say I love where my path has led me, but I didn't plan it out. I'm not a big planner.
Yeah.
I'm very much a go with the flower.
Yeah.
Even through when times were tight, when I wanted a plan, I wanted someone to take my hand and say, right, Annette, this is where we're going now. But sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah.
But you have to, you're the driver, right? And whether you're test or not, you have to bait on.
Yeah.
You know, and the sat nav's going to take you. You know, Google sat nav's a bit of a nightmare, is it?
Yeah.
or is it Google or is it
Apple?
Yeah. Well, both of them are a nightmare because it just spin me around in circles, but then sometimes the battery might go dead, you might have a sat nav, you do feel lost, but there's always a way forward, and it's not dead ends because you can still turn.
Yeah.
And even if you're from my neck of the woods, there's plenty of potholes you go through as well, and dirt roads. But, you know, as I say, it's a path that must be travelled irrespective of the surface. And sometimes it's going to be rough, sometimes it's going to be smooth, but it's building resilience and tools within yourself in order to cope,
yeah.
so that you can deal with the crap that comes at you.
Yeah.
Because life isn't always going to be kind to you,
yeah.
no matter how good of a person you are, no matter how honest you are, and you mightn't think that you deserve that certain things happen to you, but no one gets off scot-free. Yes, some people get it worse than others, but you know, your life is your life, your problems are your problems, and sometimes we minimise our problems because we don't think that they're important enough.
Yep.
But that's because you think that you're not important enough.
Mm.
You are important. Your problems, if they are hijacking you and causing you stress and strain, then you deserve to get support and help.
You said there about you were more interested whenever you were teaching about the kids' mental well-being more so than like teaching them stuff, but would you say like over the past couple of years it's got a lot more tough for kids in schools in terms of mental health? And
Without a doubt, there's pressure. Pressure can come from home.
Yeah.
Expectations from parents, expectations from teachers, because the teachers are also expected to deliver results. Mm-hmm.
What was it, primary or?
I was primary.
Yeah.
I did an instance in secondary as well, subbing.
Yeah, were you a strict teacher? Do you said you were a strict teacher?
Do you know what? I would have spoofed about let on I was strict, especially, you know, I think I was a very warm teacher, I would say, in primary school.
Yeah.
You know, definitely wanted, if them wee children were coming into my door, I wanted to create an environment where the children felt safe and I feel that's how they could thrive or whatever. But when it comes to secondary, they take the clean piss out of you.
They
say if you're so kind and warm, they would absolutely mow you. So you did have to kind of read the room here.
Yeah.
And I'll never ever forget this. It was my first time teaching in an all-boys secondary school.
Oh, tough.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember just being so nervous because I was a young teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like year 10s, they are tough. They're a tough year. You know, they're transitioning between... They're like, would you call them in-betweeners?
They probably are, isn't it? Like tweenagers.
Yeah. Kind of, you know.
Yeah, they're both going through changes. Like
going through changes. But I would have found that year group tight, right?
Yeah.
I never, ever forget. Like, and I love the banter. I love the crack. I don't like cheek. But sometimes, you know, you have to hand it to them.
Yeah.
But I'll never, ever, this is probably one of a standout moment. I'll not name the school, you know, confidentiality and all, but all boys, and they're just so noisy, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember just like, you know, you have to pick your battles. And I was like, boys, yous are far too noisy. We just keep the noise down. Yous are too noisy. And I could hear a sound from the back, just like your ma last night. And I was like, put the textbook up in front of myself, and I found myself, yeah. Well, I was internally.
Do you not go,
busting,
yeah!
Like, internally, yes, bust, I was like, internally busting out laughing.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, Annette, you're the teacher here, gain control.
Aye.
And I just was like shaking underneath. So they might have thought I was shaking with anger, but I was shaking with thinking, touché, like that was a clinker. And if I was in that classroom back in the day, I'd been roaring at the lad that said it. But anyway, I just lowered the book and I was like, so inappropriate. Like, I remember but I went to the store room and I just thought, like, you know,
fair play.
So, I thought, the cheeky wee shit, right? But I also thought, like, that is a clink, like, you know what I mean? And he threw his voice, so I didn't even know which one it was, but I couldn't get into it, and, you know, I never reported it or anything like that, because
that's very cheeky. That's a talent in itself, like.
Yeah, it was cheeky banter, but, you know, and I always prided myself as a secondary school teacher, never throwing anyone out of the classroom, because they loved it.
Yeah.
Because that used to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was, you know, like, say... playing, I was very chatty, I was never cheeky, I was always a very, very chatty student, would you believe? And I remember just thinking, you know, try and not, like, be there, just respect them, you know, even though they totally disrespected me there, but try and meet them halfway, and you find that you're not causing yourself so much stress as maybe a teacher, because you can be targeted, especially as a sub, like, I'm telling you, like,
yeah.
But no, I've very fond memories in teaching, But I'm happier in the past that I'm in now, put it like that.
When did, like, you mentioned earlier about, like, having to make a decision about, like, going to Little Penny Thoughts full time, like, when did you start seeing that success where you were like, I'm gonna have to start giving this more time here?
Like, it's not as if when I left teaching, Little Penny Thoughts was profitable, because it wasn't even like a proper business at that stage. Like, we weren't selling that much merch and stuff and calendars and days, we were only starting, you know. And I was doing a lot of talks and things like that, but I was literally going to the opening of an envelope. It wasn't, it was just, I was riding on a crest of a wave of things, but I just knew, I'm a very values-based person, and I just know that I wasn't giving my heart until my job that I was getting paid to do. But say, if you call it, can you call it a side hustle? That sounds so cheesy, but you know, my side piece here was definitely, it was just filling me up more and it was exciting me more.
Yeah.
And I probably only made the proper break when lockdown happened.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to really, like, maybe knuckle down in the business and make that decision. But it wasn't easy at the start because of finance.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely would have missed that safety net that a job that paid you a wage every month did. So was rocky enough for a while, but you know, you have to persist.
Yeah.
And, like, success doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. And that's one thing I want to say. Like, you see in social media, you know, X amount of following equals X amount of success. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's not about that. That's your front garden. That's what people see. But it's what goes on behind the scenes is the measure of true success. Yeah. For sure.
And so obviously you, Little Penny Thoughts came around from your kind of love of quotes, and even you said you were posting them like your own private or personal, like, Facebook and stuff, and then that's kind of where it got birthed from. Am I right? Have I completely butchered that?
No, that's right. Yeah.
So that sort of started while you were teaching. Yeah,
while I was teaching, you know, 2015. I was still a teacher and only left in 2019. And I was very much undercover for a brave wee while. Like, I wasn't speaking on stories or anything like that because I didn't want maybe parents to see and things like that. Or even, not parents, actually anyone.
Yeah.
Especially anyone from my local community. Being like, how does your blade think she is, Mother Teresa?
Yeah.
Because the quotes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and I, like, would have definitely, back in the day, would have cared so much about what other people think. But you know what? Like, the reality is, they're not thinking about you. They're thinking what they're going to eat that day or their own stuff that's going on. Like, sometimes we think that we're the main character in other people's lives. We're not.
Yeah.
You're not that big of a deal in it.
Yeah.
And the more I say that to myself, even now,
yeah,
and that you're not that big of a deal, like, in general.
Yeah.
Because people have, you know, their own stuff going on. Now, you will get judged, for sure, and you know, I'm very aware of that, but it's the nature of life.
Yeah.
Whether you're online or not. But I think, you know, as I say, my confidence is slowly but surely growing, that, you know, I'm probably, at the start I wasn't very proud of Little Penny Thoughts. I was more paranoid. Right. Whereas now I've stepped into that, I'm proud of what we've built. And as I say, it's very much a family affair. I'm in it with my sister.
Yeah.
We've took our brother on board last year and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Can I ask, in terms of, like, turning that from just something that you did into a business, like, where was that realization? Because, like, I look back at before we started the podcast and, like, we had the conversations around, you know, we were in a pub or we were sitting and we thought, God, if we were recording ourselves here, this would be a good podcast. Mm. But, like, in terms of, you know, you were obviously sharing quotes and obviously, you know, you had that sort of strive for the mental health side of things, but, like, where was the kind of point where you went, I'm going to turn this into something more, as Little Penny Thoughts kind of birth? Like, what was that moment?
Well, it was probably a series of moments of thinking, right, people are getting good from these quotes, so like, let's collate them into something that won't gather dust. We would have done stuff for charity before, written a book, a quote book. And then 2 years after that, we decided to create a desktop calendar called Little Penny's Book of Thoughts.
Yeah.
And there was a quote for every day of the year. And these wee gems just went down a storm.
Yeah.
You know, and it was probably creating a product
yeah.
that people wanted, and there was demand for it.
Yeah.
And then, like, but it's not just, like, the product was made with love. Like, it wasn't, yeah. oh, we'll do this because it'll make money. It was actually, we will create this because it creates impact.
Yeah.
And then it did generate income.
Yeah.
And at the start, because we're not very businessy, it was strange to navigate, but then you find your feet, and you also have to have the conversations. Do you want to go into business with my sister? You know, because then that yeah. that brings a new dimension to your relationship. But my sister Orla, she is an incredible graphic designer.
Yeah.
Her attention to detail is unbelievable. She's so conscientious, so hardworking. Something that I would like to be more of, you know, yeah. like my attention to detail. I would like to be more conscientious. Now I have my strengths, she has her strengths, and we're like each other in many ways, value ways,
uh-huh.
but personality wise we could be very different. She wouldn't be fond of coming on in front of the camera and stuff like that, but her strengths lie maybe elsewhere and my yeah. strengths lie elsewhere. So when we fused together and created a product that we felt confident enough to retail, to sell, and because we were getting such great feedback on it, mm-hmm. then we started to order more.
Yeah.
And then add to the collection.
Yeah.
Then create, you know, not just a calendar, then a diary, then a pen, then a notebook, and, you know, adding, like, every year we've added to the collection, but not aggressively or not rapidly. You know, it's been a slow burner getting it right, getting your product right, but also your why. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it just to make money or to, you know, it's we're so much more than a brand, and I'll always stand by it because it didn't start off as a business.
Yeah.
This was a bonus of the platform that we thought we could, you know, optimize.
Yeah.
That's what we did. And, you know, year after year, I'd just be so grateful that people even want our stuff. But
yeah.
the feedback I'm getting from people is that our products help them.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So that in return makes me feel good and also encourages me to keep going.
Yeah.
Even when you think, you know, is this going mm-hmm. where I want it to go and stuff like that? But no,
yeah.
as I say, that's being a, is it the word entrepreneur, you know,
yeah.
and being creative, and you always have to think. And the landscape has totally changed now as well. Back in the day, there was no such thing as like marketing or Facebook ads or things like that, you know, whereas now it's changed to get your product out there. You have to think of different ways to pivot, and yeah, that's what we're doing. We're navigating and trying our best. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about the products. What's so you have the calendar,
so
and
we've actually three volumes of the calendar.
Yeah,
so
that's 3 years, I'm assuming.
So that's 3 years. So they're undated. So, like, you know, you don't, it's not like for 2001 or 2021 or 2022,
yeah.
they're perpetual.
Okay.
So people can buy any of them and you can use them year after year. I love seeing them in people's windowsills,
mm-hmm.
teachers' desks, you even see them in hospital waiting rooms, things like that. That's the calendars, and there's a quote for every day of the year, and they're picked with care.
365
of them. That's it. Three times, three different volumes, three different versions.
And every single one of them is different then?
Different, yeah.
God.
And then we have since 2020, we've been doing our one day at a time diaries.
Okay.
So we've different editions of that every year. We're now on 2024s, and we've created notebooks and pens, and we're just, you know, we create products that we like to use.
Mm-hmm.
That we get good from, and then in turn, hopefully, you know, our community or even new people that come on board would like as well. And we love feedback, as we pride ourselves on listening to what people like or want.
Yeah.
And not everything works out, not everything goes down
yeah.
well, and that's
yeah.
just business.
And in terms of, like, the idea of Little Penny Thoughts, you say you got it from a pencil case.
A purse, nearly. So it was actually,
where did I get a pencil
purse?
Case from?
No. It's very similar.
Little
pencil.
Ross
has
that
much money, has to keep in a pencil case.
That's it. So the name came from a penny for your thoughts, and it was inscribed in Orla's purse.
Yeah.
So
right.
I said penny thoughts, and Orla said throw the word little into it, and then that's where Little Penny Thoughts is born,
yeah.
and she created a
So we bit of spice into that.
Aye, that's a little bit of
yeah,
spice.
A little bit of, yeah.
So love yes, that. And yeah, that's been our logo from Day Dot from Day and our name from Day Dot, and you know, not much has changed, but so much has changed, yeah. If that makes sense. But going back till why you started in the first place is very, very important, because then you don't lose a run of yourself.
Yeah.
And I've never lost a run of myself. I wouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very so grateful for the great people I have around me. Yeah. And I'm also so grateful for people that has inspired me along the way.
Yeah.
With their businesses. The likes of Linda there from Bellamienta. She has really, really, really inspired me in terms of just go for it, Annette. Yeah. You know? And so many, like I would be here all night naming people that has inspired me, and hopefully maybe someone's looking at me and thinking, oh, well, if she can, I can.
Yeah.
And if I can, you can. And that's when we pass this empowerment on to each other. You know, it is possible. It is possible to, you know, chase your dreams and go after what you want. And if you're going to, you know, I love an old quote, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
So whether you think you can or think you can't, that's you're nice. Right. And you know what? He's not so slow though, because
he's not.
You know,
if that should be a quote in itself. He's not so slow.
Long boy.
Yeah, long boy. Yeah.
T-H-O-N boy. Long boy. B-A-A.
Yeah.
Long boy.
That's real
drone speak. Yeah. You know, drone speak. But honestly, I get such value from words.
Yeah.
And I hear every day or every week, not every day, but every week someone would say something and I just would ask them, can I turn that into a quote, you know, because people don't realise how inspiring they can be with their words.
Would you add something, if you heard someone say something, would you add that into one?
Absolutely. I have in the past, and often they're like, oh, don't put my name to it, but I put their initials to it.
Oh, yeah.
But some people come out with some clinkers, as I say. And if it's impacted me, then I want to share it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still very much on the sharing through the medium of quotes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd struggle to come on camera and talk, you know, these inspirational quotes, because it kind of gives me the ick a wee bit, me doing it. And I've tried to do it, but it's just not my style.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to come on and say certain things, but it's just, you know, it's what works for you. And you know, if someone's starting out on social media, you know, try not to be like someone else.
Yeah.
Find your niche.
Yeah.
There's a lot of samey stuff at the minute. Yeah. It's concerning, because you're losing your authenticity. Yeah. You're using your what's that word in French? Je ne sais quoi. Is that what they say? You know, I love that. You know, just that uniqueness. Am I saying that right?
Je ne sais quoi.
Like individuality. You can Google that.
I don't even know how to spell je ne sais quoi, so I don't know why I'm picking up my phone, but we'll figure out afterwards.
We'll figure it out. I don't know if I've used that in the right context, right?
There you go.
But just, if you're true to yourself, if you be yourself, now, not everyone's going to like you.
Mm.
A wise woman once told me, Annette, you'll not be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Do you know some people don't like tea?
Yeah,
I don't like
shocking.
Tea.
He doesn't like tea.
Stinking.
What? The cider you just got there. Whoa, that's dangerous.
Hang on a second.
Dirty water.
No, you don't.
Have you ever tasted my tea?
No. You'll have to make me a cup sometime.
Absolutely, no problem. You must be using, and that's you must be using Tedley.
No, I've never really
had the right tea bags.
Growing up, always I had tea with my granny's after school, get off the bus, and then she would have made tea. Obviously, had biscuits every time. And then
you can tell.
It's just not the same.
God, that's but do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
No. I just started drinking coffee and just never went back.
Coffee. I'm all about coffee. I'm flat white gal.
See him.
Love a flat white.
Flat white with oat milk at the minute is my wee weapon of choice. Yeah. Not bougie. Lucinda.
You're a bougie boy.
No, my wife had it.
What's wrong with milk?
So I love it with milk. You know, if someone sits a flat white down and goes here, you know, they're semi-skimmed in that. I'm not going to go take it back.
Just spit it out.
But we were in Nero one day, and my wife got one, and she went, oh, there's oat milk in that, try it. It's actually creamier. It's nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Try it.
I'm not going to take your word for it. I'm actually going to try it because it's nice. You know, I'm into.
There's a creamy. I'm not into all the other milks. Like, you know.
No, like almond milk.
Yeah, I get almond milk.
You cannot milk an almond.
There's some that taste like water, like. But I think it was just having that and then going, geez, that's nice. Right. And then
I'm into at the minute? What? Right? A dirty chai. A dirty chai latte.
What is that?
Oh,
right,
the
right.
Green ones?
No, they're matches. No, matches. Yes. Matches are all right. It depends who makes them.
Yeah.
Some people, anyway, will not get into the matches, but matches are all right. So you know, they're a bit notionable, you know, notions, anyway. But chai latte is like a chai, is like a type of tea or something.
Yeah.
And I've had chai lattes before, and it's kind of like cinnamon and stuff, and it's like a wee hug for your tummy. But today I was in Belfast and Treat.
Right.
And I ordered a dirty chai latte, and that's with an espresso.
Oh.
Check me out not saying espresso. That's what I usually say, espresso. So it's espresso, and it was dirty, like, but it was lovely.
It hit the spot.
You know, it was very...
It was like a hug and a kick in the arse. It was a hug and a
kick. Hug and a kick at the same time. Me baiting down the Lisburn Road.
You had four of them.
You know, but I'm definitely wired. It was Treat does great coffee.
Yeah.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Matches for posers. They just want to be seen drinking the green tea.
I remember whenever I first like met Shay, we were in Costa, and you ordered you had just got onto coffee.
I never drank coffee.
And whenever I tell you this man's coffee was 90% caramel syrup, he walked up and he goes, "I'm not really a big coffee drinker, but I'm going to try this anyway. I always like a few wee pumps of caramel in it."
See, I never drank coffee before. I always drank energy drinks. So I was just used to that like sugariness. So I was like, no, I need to start drinking coffee. It's healthier for you. So I just started putting like 20 pumps of syrup in it.
And where are we at now, Shay?
I'm off the coffee and the tea. I don't really drink anything. I actually started on the energy drinks again there last week.
What about water? H2O?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I can. I try to be good.
He's a camel.
I'm slipping back in my old ways. Back on the energy drinks.
I know, but do you know what? Like, you just have to, sometimes, like, you can't guilt yourself for that either, like.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? You just, it's what you need. Makes you
happy.
Sweet treat, like.
I love saying that, it's a wee treat.
Yeah.
So at the minute, wee treats are wee chai latte, but now dirty chai latte is all around. But it's definitely flat white, but if I'm ever, like, with mummy or my granny, it's a cup of tea.
Mm.
But don't be handing me dishwater tea.
Yeah.
Because I'll hand it straight back to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not. Taking it.
There you go.
Life's too short for a badly made cup of tea.
That's a quote.
And I want her so strong you can walk on her.
Have you ever had a cup of tea in someone's house and been like, oh, stinking?
So many times.
Would you be the sort of person?
I wouldn't say it, but I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't drink it, but I would sip, but they would know.
Mm.
I leave them to think about what they've done.
Leave a note.
But do you know what? Honestly, I haven't got the bravery yet till say if you get a bad made cup of coffee in a cafe or whatever in a shop. I don't really get them that because I know I kind of just stick to the places that I like.
Yeah.
Know what I'm getting, you know. I don't chance my arm at these horseshoe places anymore. Not horseshoe, horse boxes. Trailers.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are fantastic. Some of them, not so much. But anyway, like. I would struggle to say here that tastes of ass.
Yeah.
And give it back, you know, because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But, like, I love my coffee. Like, and I only take one or two a day. So I want it to be a clink, like.
Yeah. Mm.
So the price you're paying for it, too, like.
I'm sure. Would you quit?
£5, like.
I know. It's shocking.
That's why I quit.
It is. Do you know what? You're dead right. You know, you'd be better smoking a fag.
So before we move on, this top tea bag then.
Oh, Panjana.
Panjana.
And if you're going to be pure bougie, like, there's like a signature blend.
Okay.
I think it's Thompson's. It's Panjana. Is Thompson's Panjana the same thing?
I think so.
But there's definitely a Thompson's signature blend, and you get them, I think it's like gold and black packaging. But it's been a long time since I've bought that. I just buy, you know, your big red bag of Panjana, and it does me for a brave while. But I can taste the difference.
Stronger
in the tea bags, sure.
Trying mimosa. I think my one's rave about it. They say it's the strongest one.
My sister handed me a Lion's one last night and it wasn't too bad.
I've never had it.
You know?
I don't even know what frigging tea bag. I don't know what clue tea. This is a debate.
This is three things in my house. You have to pick the right tea bags, the right butter, and the right milk. You have to have Fane Valley milk. What is it?
Fane Valley?
Fane Valley. You probably don't get it up here.
Do you not get it? Just go and milk the cow at the farm.
We only have bulls.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
But let's talk about butter, right? Right.
I love this.
Anyone at this table here or in this room eats Flora, get out. Right?
You Flora? Oh.
Lurpak.
Yeah. Lurpak.
Out.
Oh, right.
Dramona, real butter. They know the slab of it, the block.
Yeah.
It's far better for you.
Dramona,
because
Kerrygold or Fane Valley butter.
Do you know what?
Fane Valley's proper culture, though.
Yeah. Do you get Fane Valley up there?
Fane Valley, surely. And there's Fane. I was stuck behind a Fane Valley lorry earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I was late. It's not all good in Fane Valley.
I don't think we have Fane Valley down. Well, we probably do. I just don't really.
But real butter and toast.
Deal far.
And you know what? I will say it for it. So I went out with this lad once.
Right.
You know. Last year or whatever, and I can't look at nutty crust the same way.
What?
Right?
Why?
We're eating toast one night anyway, right? Because after a night out, you know, the toast is a must and a cup of tea. I don't care if I sound like a granny, right? I'm eating toast anyway, and butter spread the real butter. Now, I was impressed. Like, that was not a nick. He had real butter.
Yeah.
And he was spreading the butter.
So he
good start.
On the nutty crust. He had nutty crust. Every hand he had nutty crust, right? Spreading the butter on the nutty crust, the real butter. And he's like, look at that.
That's such a culture.
And I was like, yes. And he's like, look at them butter puddles. And I says, sorry, what did you say? He's like, butter puddles. And he just bit into it, and I was like, no, it's an ick. I just like was eating my nutty crust and butter. All I'm thinking is butter puddles. And now anytime I eat nutty crust and butter, I think of him and his butter. Look at that. Butter puddles. Yep, class.
We've figured out your favourite butter, your favourite coffee, tea, milk. What's out of everything, go back to the topic at hand. Do you have a favourite quote?
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Oh,
hi. See, I thought, you know.
I have.
Can't pick favourites.
Absolutely.
With over 1,000 quotes.
I have so many favourites, but I'll keep her concise.
Give us your three.
Right. Pressures for tyres.
I like that.
Pressure for tyres. I love a good saying. Maybe that's more of a saying than a quote, but pressures for tyres. Another quote I love is what I said earlier, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And probably my most favourite quote that I can relate to, especially over the past 10 years, is that comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to look at other people's lives and think that they have X, Y, and Z, it just can steal your joy and you just don't feel enough or accomplished or whatever. But when you focus on what you do have and be grateful for your own blessings and everything that's going on well in your world, then you're filling your cup up of, you know, as cheesy as sounds, joy rather than lack and, you know, not feeling enough. So, yeah, comparison is a thief of joy.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, clinker.
Yeah.
Looking back on, like, the little penny thoughts things now, like, I feel like when people start a business and, like, have success, there's always, like, a moment at the start where they look back. Maybe it was, like, their first sale or something, or, like, that success they had at the start. Is there a moment for you, like, looking back when you first started out where, like, you sort of were, like, oh, we're really onto something here? Or
I think it wasn't really the sale for me. The sale, don't get me wrong, sales do, they can be exciting when you put something out there and it's well received, but it was actually the quotes being shared globally. And I didn't know what viral meant, but like, you know, you put out an image or a graphic and it spreading across the world was pretty special. Because then you knew that it was reaching people, and that's why I did, like, started what I started, to reach people and to reach the people that may need it the most. So I think there was definitely moments where quotes would have went viral in the past that I would have thought, this is class, and all over different countries. And, you know, it still excites me when, you know, a quote does well, because it, you know, you put it out there and it reaches people, and yeah, it's not an ego thing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, going back to your why are you doing it? So, yeah.
What was, like, one of the first quotes that went viral, or, like, one of the, is there any that stick out?
I can't actually remember word for word, but a lot of the quotes that I would put up are about, you know, with self-confidence and, you know, helping you with your, like, I say, if you're going through self-doubt. So a lot of the quotes would have hit home. It would definitely have, would have created impact. And I suppose quotes that I would have penned myself, I wasn't always confident enough to write my own, but the words that I, the word that when I grew a wee bit of confidence, I would have wrote my own. And when they did well, because then it was my own work. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just something that I found and shared, it was actually my own work. And when it resonated, that made me feel a sense of joy, because I trusted my gut with my words, and my words were helping others, because that was the feedback I was getting. Yeah, so there's been so many different standout moments. One that was recently there, I got an email from a girl that said that one of her calendars played a very special day, a special part in one of the most special days of her life. Her boyfriend used it as a way to propose to her. So when she flipped the page on the date, it was like, "Will you marry me, Kevin?" That was the quote of the day. Yeah, so she said that that was, and probably for me, it definitely tugged the old heartstrings. And I thought, they actually used something that she uses every day that she was naturally going to flip, and that's how he asked her. Just thought it was very cute.
Yeah. It's really probably unreal to hear how much of an impact it does have on people's lives.
Yeah, definitely, because that's the purpose behind it, and that's the intent, you know, to make people, not to make people, but to help people pause, to reflect, to read something that can hit home and hopefully help. Mm-hmm. And what I love too, people take pictures of it and then send them to like their group chats or whatever. And, you know, I've heard so many stories, and it is very, very heartwarming what can come from a book of words, essentially. Mm-hmm. But they're words with meaning, words with weight, and I try to leave the cheese out of it, you know. We've talked about favourite quotes. Can we talk about least favourite quotes?
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay, this is my least favourite quote, right? "You've got this."
Yeah.
That's the worst ever. What have you got? It's not even a quote. What another one is, it's not even a quote, is like, you know, "Don't worry, be happy," you know, or "Stay positive." You know, you go into Primark and see these positivity t-shirts.
And pajamas and stuff.
And there's an element of toxic positivity there. Uh-huh. And I wouldn't like to be associated with that, because that's not, like I say, I would like to think that the words that we choose have weight.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying stay positive. Like, you can't just stay positive, especially when you're going through like a tight time. You have to take action to feel more positive. Or, you know, that "be happy," or, you know, "you've got this," "what have you got?" You know, it's sometimes throwaway statements that maybe don't help you, that think that you should be happy all the time.
Yeah.
When that's not the reality of life.
You say they're having an adverse effect then?
Well, they can, for sure, because then you're kind of guilted into feeling better than you should. And I think a lot of people, especially with mental health, there's an element of guilt of how they're feeling. I shouldn't be feeling this. I should be # grateful. I should be happy. I should. But it's eliminating the word "should" and just realising that you can just be. You know, and all emotions are valid. Anger, sadness, happiness, joy, shame. Mm. Now, there's emotions that we don't want to feel, but there's emotions that we must feel in order to heal, to grow, to evolve. And I do think that I wouldn't like to be associated with, you know, toxic positivity, which is pushing happiness and, you know, rainbows and butterflies down people's throat. And maybe some people may have that perception of me. Like, I have sometimes a nickname on the night out, I might get, "there's Positive Penny, what's the quote of the day?" and I might tell them a few choice words, and they're like, whoa, who are you? And I'm like, no, I'm just Annette. And like my, you know, it used to trigger maybe unbelief because maybe I was seen in a different light, or maybe not. This is just my perception or my paranoia in the past. But I just know I'm not this positive Penny or this someone that's going to say life's amazing and brilliant and grab it. And, you know, it's not like that. Life is, can be really challenging, really tough, but it also can be really class as well. But sometimes we have to go through the hardship, the hard times, learn the lessons that we do not want to learn in order to get a place in your life where you feel more resilient, strong, and have the mental capacity to cope.
Yeah. Would that be the advice then you give someone who's maybe struggling with mental problems? Or
for sure, feel the heal.
Yeah.
You know, the more we suppress, the more we ignore, the more we drink it away, smoke it away, mm-hmm. you know, numb it. It doesn't go away. You're suppressing it, you know, and that's definitely what I've learned over the years is to express. And I've been lucky enough to feel safe enough in an environment amongst my friends, family and colleagues that I could express. That doesn't mean that you have to go about telling everyone mm-hmm. your feelings. It only takes telling one person, yeah. one person that really cares, that knows that, you know, maybe they mightn't have the words, but even listening, just yeah. listening to you. And yeah. because a lot of people feel as if they're not worthy enough even to be listened to or even to feel how they're feeling. They feel guilty, like I said, how they feel, and then they don't want to burden people, but you're not a burden. You know, your feelings are valid, your emotions are valid, and especially if you are getting it tight and tough, to lighten the load or to try. And, you know, I met a really good friend today, and I was going through a bit of a challenging time recently myself, and, you know, I was talking to him and he says, Annette, you know, if I can take 5% of the load here today and you can walk out here feeling, you know, a wee bit happier, then I feel as if I've been a good friend today. And I just thought, that's class.
Yeah.
You know, and then you meet your next friend. It's not about going around telling people your problems. It's sharing your feelings. It's sharing your emotions. And, you know, there's a lot of shame with that, because how often do you meet someone, well, what's the crack? How you doing? And they don't even stop to hear the answer.
Yeah.
And how often you say, grand, we're all going about, we're all grand, and, you know, are we?
Yeah.
You know, what about the meaningful conversations that are important to have, because you know, you're entitled to vent sometimes, and some of the most uncomfortable conversations you have with people are the most important ones. And that was said to me a few years ago, and it stood by me, and I no longer remain silent when I'm struggling, because yeah. I know that I'm just suppressing if I'm silent.
Yeah.
And sharing the load can go a long way for sure.
Yeah. And in terms of you obviously with Little Penny Thoughts comes a sister company, Wellness
yes.
Within.
Yes.
Explain us a bit about that.
Yeah, so Wellness From Within was definitely born from a passion of talking. You know, yeah. like I'm all about definitely social media and, you know, talking on stories and things like that. But then my love is like the events, like to meet people in person and talk there and take people along with me
yeah.
that have inspired or empowered me. And Wellness From Within would consist of the three key areas of wellness, which is mindset, nutrition and fitness. Now I've delved deep into the mindset stuff, fitness. It's not my forte, you know, but still something I'm passionate about because I know it helps me. But in terms of talking about it, you know, I'm no expert. And nutrition, you know, the food we put into our body and how it can affect our mood and things like that, and trying to strike a balance as well. So the events would consist of, you know, panel discussions and inspiring speakers that can empower others to make changes in their own lives to help them feel well from within. We've done different theatres across the north over this past year, and we look forward to continuing that and bring it to Belfast now in 2024. So plans are being put in place for that, and that's a big passion of mine, events and presenting. I love presenting and I love interviewing people, even more so I love interviewing people more than being interviewed. But I do love that a live event and, you know, getting people going and, you know, making a difference, hopefully, in that way. We've got great feedback from our events before, and that once again spurs me on to keep going. And even though there's a fear with that too, you're stepping into your fear. Will people come? You know, am I good enough to do this? When you push past it and you remember why you're doing it, it can always overpower that inner critic in your head or that thought that's trying to pull you back.
Is that Geraldine?
That's Geraldine. You know about Geraldine? Yeah, you've heard about Geraldine.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, the name for her.
Why, my inner critic's called Geraldine. I've spoke about her in many's a podcast. Yeah. So she even was definitely a passenger coming up here today when, you know, for the Here's the Crack podcast. What value can I bring to this podcast? But hopefully I have, and I've enjoyed the crack, and this is what it's all about.
Yeah, I thought it was funny just the way you address it, as if it's a being sort of thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's one, when I went to CBT, cognitive behaviour therapy, I was encouraged to name my inner critic, and unfortunately Geraldine, I didn't know Geraldine in my life, so that's her name, Geraldine. And
you definitely do know Geraldine.
No, but I know loads of Geraldines now, funny, you know, from I've named her. Hopefully not listening, but definitely your inner critic can definitely try and make you feel as if you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're not good looking enough, you're this, that, and the other. Can really, and if you pay attention to those words, then you're definitely on a slippery slope of low self-esteem, low self-worth, because the words we say to ourselves are single-handedly the most important words that we listen to.
Yeah.
It's not the, you know, external noise, it's the internal noise. So when you work on that, and this is what I do, and I do it daily, try to catch, challenge, and change my thoughts so that I can look at myself in the mirror and think I'm not the bad person. Sometimes my brain tries to trick me into think that I am. Because I know I'm not. Like, I know I'm a good friend, a good daughter. I work hard, and I work from, like, the purest of intentions. But sometimes that's not enough to think it. You really have to know it and believe it. And that's when you override the Geraldines and then our critics, you know.
For someone who hasn't been to, like, one of your events before, like, what can someone expect if they were to go to one?
So they can expect to be educated by people that know what they're talking about. So anyone I get on board, I always feel as if they know, they've walked the walk, they just don't talk the talk. They're not full of dung, you know. Like, they're just, like, you know, they're really sincere and honest, and I pride myself with teaming up with people that are. You can expect good, real life conversations, real life, real stories, real people that hopefully can inspire you in your life, and you can take that with you. And also, you can expect to learn practical tools that you can apply throughout your own world. Whether that's in the area of mindset, nutrition, and fitness, and you take what you need. What else can you expect? Good crack. I love a bit of diddly D's with a bit of music as well. You know, yeah, I love
a cup of tea.
Absolutely, yeah. For sure. The tea will be flowing, and also that connection with people, maybe meeting new people or a good night out with friends and things like that, and just having maybe uncomfortable conversations that maybe need to be had, and, like, in my own wee way, making a difference to the people that want to hear the messages that are being put out. And I by no means ever say that I have it sussed and this is how it should be done. As I say, I'm navigating as well and learning my way, but I'm learning of others. We can learn from each other. And if you're kind, compassionate, and gentle with yourself, you'll go a lot further than actually running yourself into the ground and thinking what's not possible or what we can't do. And that's, you know, anyone in life at the minute, that's my key message, is just to be a wee bit more compassionate and gentle with yourself, because that's the difference in making this life either harder on yourself or that wee bit easier. It's not all bad, like.
Yeah.
You know, for sure, there's so much good in this world, but you have to hunt for it, and you have to actually look, is the glass half full or half empty? And for a long time, I would have thought it was half empty. Now I'm very well aware that it's half full. I just want to do my best, chipping away, topping it up as much as I can, doing the work I'm passionate about, surround myself with the right people, and just actually revisiting my early 20s and getting a bit of adventurous in that back as well, because she's still in there, like, you know.
Yeah.
She's still knocking about there, and I do, like, the more I look at life, like, through the lens of it's an adventure, it's full of opportunities, that definitely makes me live in hope rather than fear.
Yeah.
And that's the person I want to be, that lives in hope, that lives in courage rather than fear and worry of what could be. So instead of thinking what could go wrong, I'm all about at the minute, well, what could go right?
Yeah. You said you were kind of, you preferred to be the interviewer over the interviewee. Do you have a favourite question that you like to ask people?
My favourite question that I love to ask people, you put me on the spot there, but I love to ask people, right, what lights you up? What lights you up? What sets your soul on fire? What is it that fills your cup up? What fills you up?
Yeah.
And you know what? Some people be like, well, that is a loaded question. You know? That is why, you know. But when people strip it back, right, it's sometimes the simple things that mean the most. You know? I'm going to put that to use. What fills yous up? What lights yous up? Not yous, Fortnite. Collectively.
Fortnite.
Fortnite. Class.
Actually, don't know.
It's something you can mull over, something you can think about, what actually brings you joy in your life, and or who even, you know, thinking of that, and are you spending enough time with that person, or are you spending enough time doing that thing? Because life has a very clever way of pulling you away from things that you actually enjoy doing.
Yeah,
you know, and then, you know, no wonder why you're so stressed and so depressed. Because you're not actually doing the things that you love and enjoy.
Yeah.
Because you're not filling up your energy levels. You're not filling your cup up. No wonder why it's half full. You know, because you're drained. There's nothing left. You know, you're drained because you're either a people pleaser, doing things you don't want to do, in a job you don't want to be in because you just have to pay bills, and I totally get it. But, you know, there are other ways. There are other options, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I am saying it's going to be worth it in time.
Yeah.
You want to ask something?
No,
I was going to say, I think that's a really good place to end it, because that's a really good question. That's a good note.
Absolutely. And, you know, to anyone listening here, you know, what fills you up?
Think about that one.
And then think about it and do it.
Yeah. I can just imagine a bunch of people in the car right now just having we like mini
snothers everywhere.
I feel like me, our voices have got a lot softer throughout this.
Yeah,
more.
He's very zen.
I feel like I'm part of the calm app. It's okay. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on,
lads. Thanks so much for having me.
Obviously, if you're listening to this or watching it, go to the description and you'll see obviously a link to Annette. Little Penny Thoughts, and obviously the everything that you do, all the products and all the events and stuff, we'll link it below. If you don't follow already, go and follow. I do feel like I'm very zen right now. I'm gonna be gonna struggle to drive home now.
Me too.
So chill. I'm gonna be going straight home and looking at the cover and being like, what tea bags is in this? This place, like, get it out.
Absolutely. Hard to beat the tea.
I'm about to make butter puddles.
I'm away to buy myself a slab of butter and a wee loaf of nutty crust.
Nutty crust. But listen, it's been an absolute pleasure, and yes, as I say, I'm sure we'll catch up sometime soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
All the best.